This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. A couple of things that I wanted to talk about very quickly. The first of which is, of course, that the Knesset, the 25th Knesset of the State of Israel, will be sworn in later today. The President will be at the Knesset. All members of the Knesset will arrive to be sworn in. This is kind of a more symbolic ceremony rather than a getting down to business kind of ceremony, because as we know, we still don't really have a government, and until such time as a government is put together, we don't really have a functioning Knesset, but at least those people who were elected in the recent election will be sworn into their positions, and that's all happening today at the Knesset. Yesterday, Sara Netanyahu decided to invite the wives of the leaders of the coalition partners who are going to be getting together in the new government that is currently being stitched together. Mm. And the takeaway from this photograph that was published and went viral, particularly in the Arab press, was a picture of the ladies all standing together, with one of them having a pistol in her belt.
Oh, my goodness.
And of course, that was the wife of Itamar Ben-Gvir, Ayala Ben-Gvir. Right. She posed for the picture with all the other wives of the coalition leaders. And in the Arab press, they have a big red circle around an area on the side of her belt, which shows that she's carrying a pistol in the belt. So that was a very interesting little piece of snippet.
I would imagine that's deliberately provocative, because if she's got a handbag, she's got a perfectly good place to keep her pistol, right?
I'm assume so, although there are laws here, and I'm not quite sure how they relate to women, but certainly men who carry weapons in Israel by law are required to carry them in a place where they are visible. That's part of the law. You have to put it somewhere where it can be easily seen that you are carrying a weapon. So I don't know how that relates to ladies. The other thing that I just wanted to mention was Ben-Gurion University of the Negev, which is the university located in Beersheba, has decided to launch a program in Russian language program, to allow recent Olim from Russian-speaking countries to have a preparation year ahead of possibly continuing academic studies at the Ben-Gurion University of the Negev. And of course, this is much in response to the Olim who have come from Ukraine and from Russia. 40,000 people, all in all, during the course of this year, have made Aliyah to Israel from either Ukraine or Russia as a response to the Ukraine war. And this program, Russian language program, will offer 1,000 hours of Hebrew instruction, as well as 6 academic courses that will ultimately count towards undergraduate degrees, including maths, physics, programming, all taught in Russian, as well as the Hebrew Upan, and of course, mentoring and additional support programs. And as one would expect here, field trips around Israel to allow people to become a little bit more familiar with Israel and with their home. And so I think this is a great idea to try and help integrate those people who have come from Russia and from Ukraine. 90 million shekels has been put together by the finance ministry as an emergency plan to help the absorption of Russian-speaking Olim.
Amazing. Really, really an incredible initiative. The U.S. Department of Justice has decided to open an investigation into the death of Shireen Abu Akleh. So this is now following the United Nations resolution, which America opposed. To me, this makes me think that, well, maybe they want a bit of a balanced investigation. Am I being naive?
I'm sort of flabbergasted at this decision. And the reason that I'm so surprised is because Israel actually instituted an investigation, and the U.S. government was part of the investigation all along. There was no hiding information from the U.S. When the Israeli authorities decided to set up this investigation, it was the IDF was involved, and the investigation was done in conjunction with U.S. Government authorities. So for the State Department of Justice, Department of Justice in the U.S. to now decide that they will want to set up their own investigation, and they've actually put out an official request to Israel for certain pieces of information to be passed to them to allow them to continue this investigation, even though a lot of that information has already been shared with them as part of the Israeli investigation into this particular affair. So I don't really know what to make of it, because it's a clear message that there is lack of confidence in Israel's independent investigation that was conducted in conjunction with the U.S. authorities. And at the time, the U.S. authorities didn't stand up and say, hey, this investigation is not okay. The way that you're doing it, the information that you're using, the methods, the people, whatever, this is not okay. Nobody stood up and made any criticism of the investigation when it was originally conducted in full view of the American authorities. But now it has been decided that they will conduct their own independent investigation and put out a request for this information. It clearly comes as a result of the request by, I think there were 57 U.S. lawmakers, I think, who reached out to the Department of Justice saying that they would like to request an independent U.S. investigation. And this investigation will actually be led by the FBI in the U.S. The thing that I'm most confused about, and I'm confused about a lot of things, as you can hear, but the thing that I'm most confused about is what will they find and then what happens next? So where is this rolling to? Let's assume in the worst possible scenario that the FBI finds differently to the way that Israel found, that the FBI decides that this was, in fact, something which was done purposely. Okay. And just to remind people of the incident, Shirin Abu Akleh was an Al Jazeera journalist who was killed during a fight in Jenin between Palestinian renegade gunmen and IDF soldiers. She was on the scene reporting from a journalistic perspective, and she was killed. We've never managed to determine completely and without any doubt whose bullet actually killed her, but she was in a firing zone and anybody's bullet could have killed her. But I think that what the FBI investigation is trying to head towards is to somehow try to prove, or hopefully disprove, that Israeli soldiers purposely took aim at her, knowing who she was, knowing what she represented, whatever. This was kind of a murder because she happened to be at the scene of a certain gunfight, which potentially the IDF wanted to try and hide information about. I'm not really quite sure what the motive would be for trying to kill her. But this is sort of where I think things are being led, at least by some individuals within the U.S., and I feel just completely astonished that the U.S. government has decided to allow this to proceed, that the FBI is spending valuable time, money, resources on this investigation. What are we going to actually achieve by setting out this investigation? I'm interested to hear what other people have to say about it.
34519 or 061-895-1019. Again, maybe just an alternative view, and one that is perhaps a little bit naive, is maybe, because the world, and certainly the United Nations, won't believe Israel in terms, or doesn't award Israel the credibility of its own investigation. Maybe what the United States is doing is to be able to say, look, we've done an independent investigation ourselves, and this is the finding, therefore maybe to counter it. But obviously it all depends on how this plays out.
I suppose because I'm a little cynical on a good day. I just wonder if the U.S. investigation corroborates what the Israeli investigation found. We agree it was absolutely unknown. There was no intention by Israeli soldiers. Everything was exactly what Israel said. Will the world believe that? Will the United Nations accept that? Is that going to be something that people are going to believe?
Yeah, unlikely. But it'll be interesting to see your thoughts on 34519 or 0618951019. An investigation into the incidents surrounding the death of Noah Lazar results in 3 border police soldiers being relieved of combat duty. What did this investigation conclude?
So just to remind people, this was an incident that took place at Shafat, at the checkpoint, just near to Shafat refugee camp outside of Jerusalem, when an individual got out of a car, which was making its way through the checkpoint, and he walked towards a group of soldiers who were standing nearby, apparently engaged in some conversation, and then he pulled out a handgun and fired 7 shots at this group, which ultimately killed 18-year-old Sergeant Noah Lazar and seriously wounded another civilian guard who unfortunately also ultimately lost his life in this incident. And the IDF decided to implement an investigation to discover how all of this was allowed to happen and how this loss of life occurred. And what they decided in this investigation was that there were numerous issues apparently with the functioning of the troops and the police officer who was at the checkpoint. But specifically, they singled out 3 individuals who they thought should have become more involved in responding to this attack and didn't become more involved for reasons which are not made clear. But these 3 individuals have been fingered and they've been said, look, your response was not enough. You didn't get involved. You didn't pull out your weapon. You didn't try to protect the people. You didn't try to take that individual out. And so you are being relieved of combat duties. One of them, they're officers. Some of them are senior officers. One of them is being relieved of duties for a year. Others have been relieved of their duties for longer periods of time. The unit that was stationed that has been stationed at that checkpoint has been entirely relieved of its duties for 30 days to allow them to move away from that checkpoint, and they've been replaced by another unit who will take over duties for at least a 30-day period. And so quite a severe reprimand on the part of the IDF. Now, I'd like to link this with the incident yesterday that I described in real time, where I said that there'd been a stabbing incident in Ranana and that an individual who had carried out the stabbing had been shot. Well, that information just in real time turned out to be not entirely correct. And so the update to that situation is that an individual was shot by an IDF soldier at the bus station in Ranana. And as a result of that, the person who was injured died of their wounds in hospital a little later. It turns out that the individual who was shot was actually a Jewish person who had some mental issues and was going around the bus station, it seems, wielding a knife. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly sure of whether he was threatening people or he wasn't threatening people, but all of a sudden now an entirely different view is being taken, and that soldier who killed the individual has been taken in for questioning. He's not being held as such, but he was questioned, and there are many questions being asked about whether he overreacted and whether he shouldn't have done something more to prevent that loss of life, given that this was a person who was mentally unwell and was a Jewish person, and there are different versions about whether there were people who were at risk or not. And so what we see here is 2 different sides of the same coin. On the one hand, 3 soldiers being relieved of their duties for not being activist enough, for not being willing to get involved enough. On the other hand, an individual yesterday being roundly criticized for getting too active and for being too willing to shoot at somebody who clearly must have created some sort of a raucous and presented some sort of a threat, I imagine, because I don't think a soldier would simply load his weapon and shoot at somebody at a bus station if there wasn't some nervousness, if there wasn't a level of threat felt. And so what we're seeing is that even though the rules of engagement are clearly laid out, one has to interpret them. And one has to know exactly what to do at every moment in time. And it doesn't matter what you do, you're ultimately potentially going to be criticized for either doing too much or too little under the circumstances. I think it leaves our soldiers in a very difficult position to make those calls in the spur of the moment when they're carrying a live weapon, when they have responsibility for the safety of individuals and for the safety of our country. How is it that we can expect 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds to make that call in the spur of the moment? I think that we find ourselves in a very, very tough position here.
Absolutely. And just going back to the FBI conversation, Ivy says, I'm absolutely astounded by this FBI investigation. Why haven't they investigated the killing of numerous other reporters in war zones? Peter says, I don't trust the FBI. They have the Hunter Biden laptop for a few years and crickets. All right. So that's some of, that is, those are some of the responses to it. Finally, an Iranian newspaper carries the headline, 400 seconds to Tel Aviv, in Hebrew. So they want to appeal to the Israeli readership.
Apparently, I don't know how broad the Israeli readership is of this particular Iranian newspaper. Let's start with saying we haven't spoken a great deal about Iran recently, and I'm not unhappy about that. I'm happy to get away from talking about Iran, but clearly Iran is in a state of flux right now. This campaign of knocking turbans off the heads of clerics coming from within Iran, lots and lots of protests. A sportsman, when celebrating a goal, a soccer player, sits down with his legs crossed and they put a bottle of water just out of his reach to symbolize that individual who is tied to a pole with water just out of his reach and ultimately died as a result of not being able to drink because the water wasn't close enough. And so that's become a symbol. And of course, many other symbols that have come out of Iran, it's in a state of flux, and the Iranian situation is not good in terms of the threat against the regime. But of course, this issue of 400 seconds to Tel Aviv relates to hypersonic missiles, which Iran claims they now have technology to be able to build, and that a hypersonic missile could potentially be a game changer in its war, in inverted commas, on Israel and its ability to attack Israel. That could potentially be a precursor to the launch of drones and other missiles, which could have quite serious consequences, they claim. So they think that within 400 seconds, a missile, hypersonic missile, which travels, I think, at Mach 5, five times the speed of sound, they think that they have the ability to build that and to create a threat towards Tel Aviv. Just to put things into context, only Russia, US, China, and North Korea have so far successfully tested hypersonic missiles. There was a claim that Russia used a hypersonic missile called the Kinzhal missile in a strike on a military fuel depot in Ukraine in March, but that's not been confirmed. So this is a very, very extreme high-level technology, and they're carrying headlines in Hebrew in Iranian newspapers. Who would have imagined?
Who indeed. Absolutely fascinating. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.